Welcome back, everyone. Welcome.
Oh, what a feeling.
Back to the Flats and Shanks original podcast.
Oh, who are you? What's your name, fella?
Don't have to worry about your language now, do you? Bloody.
No, I flipping don't.
Rack off. We can F and Jeff as much as we want.
Remember a player, a winger called Fricky Welsh, a South African guy who played for Bath?
No.
Fricky Welsh, freaky strong fella. He was like really aggressive. And he got really angry. He's saying he's going to flip and get it. He would not swear.
I did an event with Warby, Sam Warburton, to those who don't know him.
Nicknames, is it?
Friday night. And he uses the term effing and jeffing.
Wow.
Mm.
I thought that was only Ned Flanders on The Simpsons.
Oakley dokely.
Been effing and jeffing.
No,
he was effing and jeffing, all right.
Do you know what? He's one of the... He is genuinely now, Flats, one of the nicest blokes to grace this planet we call Earth. He's that nice. If you found him in bed with your wife or girlfriend, you'd tuck him in. Wouldn't you? You would. You'd give him a cup of Horlicks. You'd give him a little pat on the head. You'd even read him a story.
What are you like, Warbers?
You'd even read him a story and say, I trust you, mate.
Trust you. So if you're gonna do it, at least the baby's likely to be muscular and lean.
Mm.
This has gone too far.
With a
anyway,
great
what's
work,
your name?
With a great work ethic.
Exactly. Tell everyone your name, fella.
Tom Shanklin is my name, and you are.
I am Die Flats, aka Dying Flats, because I've got porcine pig flu.
You don't get ill much. I'll give you that. No, you don't. You can't get ill though because you are front of house. Everything you do, you're front of house. There's no sitting in the background, just getting on with it, marking a few, ticking off a few boxes for the event. You are up there being funny. Be funny, right? Is a mic, be funny.
Lols. Mm. I can't just work from home for a few days on my laptop.
No.
Doesn't
get out there.
I'm on stage in a suit and I'm, good evening, ladies and germs. Everyone looks lovely tonight. Ladies, you look lovely. Not all of you. You know who you are.
Yeah. And there's a few famous faces in the audience. There's Peter Beardsley at the back. Yeah, Peter Beard. Oh, it's not. Oh, sorry, love.
Sorry.
Classic.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Oh, babe.
That is excellent.
Babe, you've seen Pig in the City. It's one of Nigel Owens. Can't claim that for myself.
He said once, where'd you learn to whisper, mate? Underneath a fucking helicopter. very good. Oh. Anyway, I'm not well, boy. I don't get ill very often at all, touch wood. But you know what? It's getting back from Japan. Long flight and all that, which is fine, but it's just, you get back, you don't sleep, flat out with the kids. It's like...
You haven't slept, have you?
I've been sleeping the week.
Really?
No, you don't sleep well, do you? You don't sleep very well.
Oh, it's fine coming back. Going out. When you go east, that's the worst bit. When you come back west.
Oh, it's much better than it was in Japan. Much better. Mm. It's an accumulation of 4:30 wake-ups gets you in the end because you got, you know, you're with the kids all the time and you're visiting family and it's not like you can just put your feet up at 7 p.m. after a Deliveroo, watch Netflix and go to sleep at 9:30. It's like you're flat out until the day's done.
What are you doing in the evenings then, mate, if you're
grafting,
not relaxing?
Mate. No, family, parents and all that stuff and, you know, cousins and cousins' friends and Labradors.
All right.
What are you playing with there? There's a noise. What's that?
That is just the zip of my jeans. No, it's
Can
not.
You stop? Oh, God. So my point is, I'm not going to go on about being
please
poorly,
don't.
But
please don't.
But it's just that I've got a cough, which is most annoying for me.
Mm.
But it's really annoying if you're listening to a podcast. So I'm going to do my best to flick my little microphone off every time I cough. I might not manage it. But
no,
otherwise
don't do
it'll
that
be really
because
annoying.
It does make a clear little click and the noise.
All right. Well,
I'll
move away then. I'll move away. All right.
Keep it in, mate. I'm a cough suppressor.
All right, fella.
That's my job here, is to suppress your coughing.
You actually hate my podcast coughing, don't you, as well? It's a thing for you.
It's strange, isn't it? Because you can't stop coughing when you're talking.
Don't cough in real life.
No.
Just on pods.
Maybe it's your lungs, mate. Maybe it's the crisp packets you got inside
Speaking
your body.
Of, pods. I saw Andy Goo yesterday, aka Alan Goon. He looked good.
Did he?
He did, mate. He looked good. He looked in good nick. I mean, it's all relative, but he looked in good nick. Very cleanly shaven, beautifully immaculate facial hair, always smartly dressed. And we had a nice man hug in between filming links and everything. It's just nothing in it. No point in saying that. I just haven't seen Alan Goon for a while.
Goody, what I will say about Goody is that, yeah, he dresses smart, but it's all dark colours. All of it. I've not seen him.
It's all right for you. So am I, mate. It's all right for you.
I've not seen him in anything pastel. And to be fair to him, he's got the best weave I've seen. I don't know. And there's a few guys out there who've had it done.
No, whose is the better one? I saw one.
I don't know, mate. I really don't know. Let's go through.
Is Jamie Roberts' one good?
Pass.
Henry Thomas's is all
right.
That's
just a nice way of me saying no.
Okay.
Let's go through him. Austin Healey's. It's better than...
Really good. It's really good.
It's better than Austin's.
Yeah, Austin's is perfect. You can't tell Austin's had a weave.
Graham Gooch.
They did on telly.
Graham Gooch.
Gucci. No, Gucci.
Better than that. Warnies. Shane Warne. I don't even know him. It's better than that. Xavier Rush's. It's better than
that.
Oh,
no. Tell you who's as good. Danny Cares is good.
Okay, maybe. But the thing with... You've got to remember is with Goody, we saw what he was like before. You know, appalling it was and how he decided to keep that going for 2 or 3 years. And you're thinking, mate. But then he recovered and he's totally redeemed himself. So
totally redeemed himself.
Well done you.
But Andrew. That's the dark colours thing. You know why we wear dark colours, big fellas?
Sweat.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. No, I get it. Maybe you should go for Botox in your armpits.
It's not armpits, mate. It's my entire body is too hot. I'm sitting here now at home. It is a cold day. People all have puffer jackets on, and I've got, like you'd appreciate it, I've got a pair of jeans. I've got a shirt on with a sweatshirt over the top, like you would wear this normally.
Where have you been today then? Meeting?
I've been a meeting, yeah. Now, you would wear this normally. This, for me, is too much clothing to be wearing in my own home.
Okay.
I'm over temperature. So you don't know what it's like, fella.
No, I don't. I mean,
if I lost 6 stone, I'd be all right, but I can't be bothered.
I think I get a glimpse of it when I'm on the flight back from Hong Kong. You know, because that's when I start sweating on that flight back.
Demons, is it?
Everything. It's just coming out of me and I can't stop. And I'm hoping no one speaks to me because then I got to speak and then, you know, your body temperature rises, your heart beats a little bit faster and then... I start
how
to
was
spy.
Hey,
more.
Tom. Hey, Shanks. How was Hong Kong? Who's asking? Yeah. Who's asking? What do you want to know? Who do you work for?
I didn't go. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. Who me? Who me? Hey, how are you, boy?
I'm good.
Oh, well done.
Had a nice round of golf on Friday at St. Pierre. The weather wasn't great. Well, it wasn't great. I mean, it was fine. It was actually quite a nice day. It was a bit soft, but leaves were a killer, mate. Couldn't find your ball in the leaves.
Oh, no.
Didn't matter, though. Still won.
It's not like a GPS on your phone or something now.
Nah, it's a time of season, mate. It's about another 3-4 weeks of leaves. They'll all go, and then you'll be able to find your balls again.
Gotcha, fella.
But no, it was nice. Did a little bit with Sam Warburton, can't even say it, in the evening. How difficult is it to say Aaron Wainwright fast?
Yeah.
One of the toughest names out there.
No, nightmare. Aaron Wainwright. That was good, but it's a lot harder than that normally. Because when you're doing commentary, you're doing a load of other names, and it's bang, 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 and you've got to chuck him in, and it'll get you.
Try saying
it'll
Peggy,
really get you.
Peggy Bab, B-A-B, cock, fast.
Peggy Babcock.
Three
Peggy
times.
Babcock, Peggy Babcock, Peggy Babcock, Peggy Babcock, Peggy Babcock, cock.
Well,
yeah,
there we are.
Really difficult.
Tongue twister.
This is good stuff. This is top poddage.
It's the sort of stuff I do, mate, before I warm up on TV. You know, just get the mouth moving.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
I covered the Scarlets game at the weekend, whatever. And they won, so...
You're on TV again?
Every game I cover for the Scarlets, they seem to win.
do you not ever just want a break from all the TV stuff?
It's part of my life now. You know, it's...
Yeah.
You deal with it. You deal with it, mate. It's like
it defines you to a point now, doesn't it?
It's like you can't get away from it, no matter what you do. So
yeah,
you either embrace it or you go into your shell.
Yeah,
like you do. Okay. What have you been up to? Apart from
he's asking
the whole entire extended family. I'm not having any time to relax, not even eating.
Relaxed. It's all relaxing. It's just, it's a lot of catching up, and it's a few glasses of wine, and then the next night and the next night, and it's all great fun. It's like,
you can't say no to wine, mate. You're allowed to have a soda.
Yeah, I know, but it's real tasty, isn't it? So no, it's all good. Just a very social week, catching up week, and lots of you know, lovely, exciting kiddie stuff. But it's only exciting when it's your kiddies. Other people's kids are boring. Everyone knows that. Yeah, I went down to Exeter Chiefs, which we'll talk about in a minute. Went down Exeter on, when did I go? Went yesterday. It's Monday today, isn't it? Yeah, went yesterday.
Yeah, the game was yesterday.
Very strange game, Exeter Bristol. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Mm.
But yeah, otherwise, pretty chilled week. And I'm not working till Thursday this week. I've got a few bits to do, like, you know, write a few little bits here and there. But just Michelle, the lovely Michelle, every day at the moment, my phone pings and it says, ping, family time on my calendar, because she basically blocked out 10 days or so where I could just not do a lot, which is very nice, I must say.
That's very nice of her, even though it's your job,
isn't it?
To work, but it is nice of her.
Yeah, but she blocks time out. When she blocks time out where I'm not working, she doesn't earn any money either.
No.
Goes both ways, doesn't it, fella?
Yeah, but it's your life, mate. You only get one of them. You only get one of them.
Yeah, why not work more?
biggest news out this week has to be...
What's been going on? Nothing going on this week.
Has to be... Oh, man. Couple of red cards. Has to be the Saracens issue. Call it issue. Salary
let's
cap.
Let's call it Homeless Magazine. Let's call it a big issue.
Let's call it the salary cap. For those of you who don't know, where have you been? Living in a cage.
Yeah.
Now, they've been fined. They've been fined.
£5.36 million.
Yes. For 3 years. For the last three seasons of going above and beyond, probably by a significant amount, the salary cap.
Imagine being fined £0.36 million, never mind the five.
Yeah.
Be a lot for us to cover that, wouldn't it?
Anyway. But they were given 14 days to appeal, they have. So it's all a fair bit of speculation at the moment. It's whether or not it's declared as investment or salary, basically, isn't it? So Nigel Ray has invested... allegedly into a certain amount of players, limited companies, whether it's property. We don't know this, but it's whether that investment is seen as salary or not, which is the main issue. Am I right in saying that, Flats? Because I know.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know me, Shanko, by now, and you know that there is a 6 to 8 to 12 minute monologue coming now. But I don't want it to be that way.
No.
But we obviously had to prepare for... Mark Durden-Smith and I prepared pretty hard for what we were going to say on TV yesterday. And then it came to the actual day. And it's like, yeah, you've got 34 seconds. It's like, right, we can't say anything in 34 seconds. Yeah, I know. But that's how TV works. We just literally do not have the time. We have to cover this. We have to cover this. We have to cover this. And it's like, right, let's try and stick an extra question in there when we do the post Saracens match chat, and it's like, there's literally no time. Sorry. So you basically can't address it on a show like that. It's like, you know, there's such short chats in reality. Whereas, you know, BT Sport have a 45 minute build up to a live game. They can talk about it for 20 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, that's
whilst
such
a
long
podcast,
time.
You can just go on and on, can't you?
Yeah. The ramifications of it are endless. So the important thing is that they were found guilty.
Yes, by an independent panel.
Yeah, independent panel. So it's not Premiership Rugby. Premiership Rugby facilitated the investigation. It's an independent panel. Now, Lord Dyson, the man who passed the judgment, is basically the second most senior and second most respected league independent legal mind in the country. So he is big time. Okay, so he's not mucking about. He's not, doesn't work for your high street solicitors with respect to them. He is big time. Okay, so...
Who's the first he's, then?
That is... I thought it was your dad, Big Jim.
I'm not sure. Is there a league? No. Is there?
Anyway, Lord Dyson is a big, big dog, independent. So he has ruled them guilty. Now Saracens have said we are going to appeal. As officially, they have not yet lodged an appeal.
Have they not?
No, but they are going to. I mean, okay. Everything suggests they're going to. So the fact that they immediately said we are going to appeal means that they, first of all, the league table looked like Saracens in whatever it was, fourth or third, then it was Saracens bottom, and then it was Saracens, third or fourth again. So as things stand, the fine is unpaid. the points are undeducted because they are currently, you know, I guess in legal terms, I'm fudging this a little bit, but they're effectively not guilty at this stage because
nothing's being.
They're appealing, right?
Yeah.
So it's all very well saying, well, we know they're guilty. It's like, yeah, but you know, if your brother's been done for GBH and he's been found guilty and is on appeal, you will hang on to the fact that he's not guilty while he's on appeal. So it's kind of, let's try and be balanced about it. Now, when it eventually happens and the appeal is rejected or upheld or whatever, we will still probably never know what these financial dealings were. Now, with any great detail, with any great clarity. So there are a few things to think about, and there's kind of the emotional side of it, which is, everyone at Saracens is livid and disappointed and angry and us against the world. I completely understand that. Equally, no one, as far as I'm aware, is blaming the players. No one is blaming the players. No one's blaming, you know, your Kev Sorrells, your Alex Sarnesons and all that. No one's doing that. In fact, the judgment said this wasn't deliberate. It's not deliberate. This is them believing something was legal and doing it. Now, it's been deemed reckless, I believe. So the reckless bit is really, if you're running a multi-million pound organisation, it's probably not too big a stretch to expect Saracens to check that these massive payments they're making to players, wherever they're putting the money, are legal within the laws of the salary cap.
It's essentially a loophole. Essentially a loophole that they think they found, which allows them to be under the salary cap, but still maybe pay players more than what they're allocated to because it's come under a different cost center. You know, whether it's your limited company rather than an actual salary.
Yeah. But your issue is, boy, say I'm making numbers up now, right? But say you've got pick a player. So Marrow, big dog. No idea what he earns. I expect it's loads and he's great. So he's worth the money he gets paid, but how it gets paid is it's a different matter. So if Marrow wants 300 a year for 3 years, right? Let's not use Marrow because it's not fair because I've no idea what he earns.
Make a name up.
If Flats wants 300 a year for 3 years, mm-hmm. And the club say, right, what we're going to do is we'll give you 300 for 3 years, but we'll actually, your salary will be 100 for 3 years. That's what's on the cap. That leaves 600 grand, so 200 a year for 3 years.
Yeah.
What if we create a company, so it's more tax efficient for you because it's a company, whatever it is, and we put 600 in there. So you've got 300 a year, but your salary only counts as 100. Mm. That is different from this player operating at market rate. He's worth three to 350, let's say, and he gets paid 300 or 320 grand a year. And then there are payments made completely separate because he's at market value in terms of salary roughly. And then he's getting an extra wodge put into this business that's been created, which these businesses, by the way, they are real. Tiki Tonga Coffee is real.
Yeah,
you know, Wolfpack Lager is real.
Okay, sorry, that's two businesses.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, my point is,
who's to say a property portfolio isn't a business either? You know,
absolutely.
But we don't know what the other businesses are.
My point is, and this is the sort of thing you can't say on telly, but this is our pod, so I can say it.
Ready, go.
Nigel Ray is just a great bloke. This is not defending Saracens' actions because I think if they have ploughed on with these payments that could well have been dodgy or, you know, illegal or against the spirit of the law or whatever it is, and they haven't had it checked, that is crazy. That's absolutely crazy, and it's not fair, right? If they are illegal, but I believe in Nigel Ray's benevolence. I believe it is entrepreneurialism. I believe those things. However, to not check it, first of all, isn't good enough. Second of all, Brian Moore said it in the Telegraph. It's a bit the dog ate my homework. And I agree with him. Mm. I'm not sure I quite buy that, to be honest. But
they would have checked it. They've just, if they are found guilty, they've just been badly and poorly advised because they would have checked it with their lawyers. What is interesting, though, is that when they do appeal, there is a brand new panel coming out to look at the evidence. So whether that's good...
Oh, no, but Tommy, a quick one on that. No, there is a new panel, but they're not looking at the evidence, I don't think. I think...
Or they're looking at the appeal.
They're looking at due process. Did Lord Dyson basically do things properly?
Well,
was the process proper?
Is there an error of law? Is the decision proved to be irrational? And... is it basically unfair?
Wow. Yeah, did the legal team, the independent legal team, cock it up?
Yeah,
that's effectively what it is. So it's not about the actual money. So
no, but
do you see what I mean?
What
do you
I mean?
See what I mean?
Like the error of law.
Yeah.
Could be
yeah.
where they deem to be fair rather yeah. than unfair. So
do you see
yeah.
what I mean about the payments? Like if
yeah,
yeah. but you know there's and it, this is it's not it's a weird one because I you know my job just like your job in these instances is to say what you think and we will. Doesn't mean you can't admit to being, you know, Nigel and I don't speak on the phone. We don't have each other's phone numbers, but I love the guy. And I think I like his wife a lot. I like his daughter a lot. You know, they're lovely people. And his son, that isn't the point. The point here is, you know, I made a point to someone yesterday off camera. And I said, just imagine if you're Jack Yendall. Right, because this goes back to, Jack Yendall's got nothing to do with this, by the way, but this goes back to the whole... We've got a lot to be grateful to Saracens for. They've taken it to the next level. And God, they have. They've been incredible. However, a couple of things on that. You know, however many of the England team in the World Cup final came through Saracens Academy, that's great. But if you're Jamie George and you're a young player, you're not in the team yet, and you're training day after day, week after week with the pros, you're training with, from memory, Skulk Brits, you're training with John Smith. These are legends. Then you think, right, Jack Yendall down at Chiefs, top player, doesn't have 50 caps, doesn't have Lions tours, doesn't have World Cups. He could be a triple Premiership champion. Who did he grow up? Who was he training with when he was in the academy at Chiefs? Mm. Who was he training with? And then you start thinking, hang on, if this goes back further, it's all very well saying when they came through the academy, but imagine if you could take any rugby academy, take the Bath one, because I live in Bath and I'm here now, and just sign a load of legends. Imagine if, you know, when you and I were at Sarries, imagine if, you know, I had Jason Leonard and Oz Durant as the two loose heads I was learning from every day for the first few years of my pro career. It might not have made a difference, and we can't quantify what difference it would or wouldn't make, but I bet you it wouldn't hurt. Right, so the effects of if they have been cheating, deliberately or not, if they have been cheating or doing things unfairly, they have gained quality. They have achieved these things through unfair means. There's just no two ways about it if an independent panel decrees it so. So no, it's really difficult because I love the club. I love the people. I desperately don't want them to have cheated, is the truth. I don't like the controversy. I'd rather it went away. But you start.
But
you know, Jack Yendall's played in Premiership finals. He could have retired. Jack from Crediton, you know, not a rock star like Jamie George. He could have retired a triple or quadruple Premiership champion. He might still. That could, might not, but it could have changed his life. And it's not fair. If it's been taken away by a team who've been doing things unfairly, you know, he's just one guy and he's got nothing to do with it. But you see what I mean? It's on these, these people are affected.
I see what you mean.
It's just not fair.
I agree. Yeah. I just think it's not Nigel Ray that's gone out there, I don't think. And it's my opinion that it's gone out there and thought, right, I'm going to buy the best ever players now. Doesn't matter about the salary cap or anything. He's just, I think there has been, whoever they use, lawyer-wise, solicitor-wise, whatever, they've found a loophole and someone's come to Nigeria and say, look, you know, you can afford to pay so-and-so. You can afford to get all these players in because what we can do for you is their money does not come under the salary cap. We can hide that money in limited companies and we can call it investments and you're covered. So that's what I feel is going on. Now, whether there's any insurance on that or not, who knows, but they've try to be a little bit clever and think they found a loophole when essentially they haven't and it's now being investigated. So, yeah, it'd be really interesting.
I read a comment on, I don't normally read comments on articles online and stuff, but someone did a piece and I thought, I wonder what public opinion is on this and you can guess what it is. Mm. It's Saracens fans telling everyone else to piss off. They're wrong. They're jealous. Up yours. Knew you'd get us in the end because we're better than you. Okay, well done. Our second team just beat your, okay, well done. But then there's other fans saying Elliot Daly's the worst of all. He knew what, one said is Elliot Daly's the worst of all. He knew what was going on and he still signed. Yeah. Utter balls, that is. Show me one rugby player in the history of rugby, pro rugby or amateur rugby when they were getting cash in hand, who says, we'll give you this much money. And they say, right, I need to know where all the money's coming from, please. Yeah. Can you show me your accounts?
Are we under the salary cap?
Yeah.
But it makes you wonder though, how it does make you wonder when you look back now at Saracens, and you look at the stars, not even looking back, you know, from 3-4 years ago when they can afford the likes of Alex Goud, right? Quality player at 15.
Yeah.
Liam Williams, quality player. Now Elliot Daly, quality player. You know, three players who all want to play 15. I mean, they obviously won't. Liam plays on the wing a lot. Maybe Elliot Daly's position is centre. Who knows? But that's just three examples of three 15s they've signed. Yeah, it does, but very, very intriguing over the next
It is really
days.
Intriguing. And then there are lots of people talking about, well, we shouldn't have a salary cap anyway. And that's a matter of opinion. My opinion is I completely agree with a salary cap, because for me, like Guy Mercer, who I played at Bath with for a few years, and I would regard as a very, very good bloke and a very bright bloke, someone I think a huge amount of. He tweeted the other day, I've had a bit of time off Twitter, but someone showed me his tweet and said, salary cap should go because it squeezes out the middleman, and you've basically got rock stars on loads of money and you've got kids on bugger all, and it's the guys in the middle that get squeezed. Now, I don't doubt that is often the situation in terms of salaries, but one of the reasons I think if you say to clubs, here's an extra 3 million a year, well, your top players, so Marrow at Saracens, just became even more valuable because clubs have got more money to spend. So the top guys' salaries will go up. Everyone's salaries will go up a bit, but you will always have, I think, while you have the ability to pay players, you know, as long as there's not a cap on individual salaries and it's a global salary. So you could pay someone 6 million and then have 40 lads between a million if you wanted to, you know. That will always be the case. And also, what we're not here to do is make sure that run-of-the-mill players get played 150 grand instead of 110 grand. We're here for the overall product. That's why I don't agree. That's why I don't like the idea of ring-fencing the Premiership when I instantly think about it. Maybe there's a bigger business case to be heard, and Mark Evans would try and persuade me otherwise. But the overall product, if you lose Jeopardy, if you remove Jeopardy from the game, I think the product suffers. I could be wrong, but that's what I think. And I think if you remove the salary cap, there will be a couple of clubs that can just spend tons more than everyone else, and competitions done. And, you know, Exeter have clearly, well, they seem to be, you know, so aggressive about Saracens at the moment, Tony Rowan, everyone, they must be playing legally, you'd imagine, not over the salary cap, but you think they've done a remarkable job.
You've got to be squeaky clean to come out and talk about it. You've got to make sure your own house is in order. Also, mate, you're missing out, mate. Get back on Twitter. I think the animosity's gone now. Everyone's missing
you. Oh, no, it's not about that. It's lovely not having the...
You don't have to go on other people's Twitter accounts to look at Guy Mercer's text. We're missing you. We want you back.
Yeah, I can't come back on.
Good.
I just quite like it. I just quite like not having to look at my phone all day. My screen time was down last week.
Have you seen what... essentially, Saracens could do, they could have two squads, one in Europe because there's no salary cap in Europe, and one in the Premiership. So they could run two different squads.
Yeah.
You hope rugby doesn't come to that. I mean, a lot of teams do anyway, especially I'd say more so this side of the bridge, in Ireland and Wales, where there's more centrally and dual contracted players. So they get looked after a lot more. They can play less games because it comes down from the top more so. But imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine having all your big dogs at Saracens playing Europe international rugby, not allowed to play in the Premiership.
I think it'd go the other way. I think they would, because they get docked the points. If they get docked the points, they need to be fully focused on the Prem, or they'll go down. So I think they would do it the other way. I think they would effectively forfeit Europe. And some people have made a really interesting point.
How can they do that though with all their stars, because they're coming over budget?
We'll leave a couple out, but put as many stars as you can on Premiership duty so you stay up. So, you know, it's some people make an interesting point about, what if with our salary cap, how can we be expected to compete in Europe? Well, I get it. I do get it. But at the same time, are we here to make sure our teams are as good as possible in Europe, or are we here to have the best domestic league possible? Because if we scrap the salary cap, we will have a couple of teams that will do a lot better in Europe. But the other eight or nine, will be dead in the water in Prem and in Europe. And the competition just won't be as appealing. That's just my view.
Yeah, I agree.
Another thing, boy, there's chat going around that this investigation into Sarri's cost £1 million. Don't know if that's true or not. But CVC have put a lot of money. I wonder, you know, all these people chucking mud at Sarri's at the moment. First of all, fans, everyone does it. We all do it. We're all sports fans and all that. But none of these fans knows actually what's going on at Sarri's. None of these fans know what's going on at their own club. Are we absolutely certain that no player at any of the other 11 clubs has got an offshore bank account that the club pays into, or Steve, the club owner's mate, pays into for him?
Yeah.
Are we absolutely sure? Because Saracens might be the only ones doing anything dodgy. And I think to myself, well, is there not a case for Saracens to say, we want all other 11 clubs, we're about to pay you £5 million. We want you to use a portion of that money to investigate other clubs because we believe we're not alone. Or they might believe whatever they believe. Are we absolutely sure? And I think we're not. I think there's a real case for investigating everyone.
I'm no accountant, but you know, you're talking about marquee players now as well. What, you allowed two? Yeah, two marquee players.
Yeah.
And so there's no limit on what you can spend there. So who's to say there's not an arrangement or an agreement between a marquee player and a club player? So you pay a marquee player a certain amount of money, but then that is filtered back to club player or players. Who knows?
Or if you've got, and this isn't happening, by the way. It's a
theory.
Hypothetical thing. If you've got, I was going to say the Vunipola brothers, but that's probably a bit too topical, but they're not doing this, by the way. But if you've got a couple of brothers or a couple of mates at a club, probably just exactly what you've just said. And it's like, right, we all want £300,000 a year. And you say, well, we can't do that on the cap. I tell you what, we'll give two of you £100,000 and then we'll give one of you £700,000 and he gives you £200,000 each from that.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So you're all on,
yeah.
So you're all on 300. Yeah. So this, I mean, I hope it's like steroids. I really hope there's no steroids in the Prem, but probability.
Angry.
No, but
your balls are shrinking.
But it's like, yeah, if there are, we want to know about it. But also, it's kind of, it would just, the odds suggest that in elite sport, someone's doing something wrong to get ahead, you know, because so competitive. So I think it's fascinating. But we must remember that as things stand, they're on appeal and they're not going down without a fight, it seems.
Salary cap done. Exeter, Bristol. We'll start with that one. You were there. Sandy,
I was there.
Park. Good game. Did you enjoy?
I didn't love it, actually.
Did you not? Was it? I mean, I really like Rob Baxter's theory.
No, mate, it's too many bin liner gags. That's why I didn't enjoy it. The game was all right. It's too many bin liner gags.
You shouldn't have worn it. Otherwise, you wouldn't wear it. You get.
I know. I'm only playing.
I like Rob Baxter's theory on why he's getting the stars back in. You know, it was along the lines of, right, well, are they coming back? Are they not? Are they going to have a few days off? We're going to get them in next week. But he was like, right, we get our stars back now and then we will structure it so their time off, they can plan to do things. You know, at the moment they come back from the World Cup, they were in limbo. Are they going to have 3 or 4 days? Is it going to be a week? Are they just going to hang around home? But he's structuring it now. So later on in the season, you know, there might be a 2-week gap where these World Cup stars can actually have proper time off, can go relax, do what they want to do, get away from rugby. I thought that was brilliant in the way he describes that. And it's also nice seeing a lot of the stars back in the Premiership. Like Henry Slade.
Playing well.
Henry Slade.
He was class, mind.
Mate, that offload out the back door.
to Hogmeister General.
Yeah, down the right.
Stuart Hogg looked razor sharp, by the way.
He did. He did look really sharp. And then Nick White scores, doesn't he? Comes back on himself.
Yeah.
Thacker switches off a little bit, as you do, because you just assume the ball's going to go the same way. And Nick White. I mean, especially with disappointment as well, sometimes it's quite nice, I always think, just to get back into it straight away, as quick as you can, because you've had that huge disappointment of losing a final or losing a semi-final, as in Nick White. You know, it's quite nice just to get back on the horse, so to speak.
It's like in 03 when we're at Bath and Tindall and Bolshaw came back a couple of days after the World Cup final and we're like, oh, good lads, they're turning up to training. They want to play this weekend. No. They'd got a taxi to the team meeting drunk. Good lads.
Yeah. But, you know, 17-13, 81 minutes. I mean, no, before that, Exeter was 17-0 up half time.
17-3, I think. Or was it 17-0?
I thought it was 0.
Might be 0. I was there, I can't remember. Exeter on fire in the first half, only 1 team in it. I actually thought this would be a cracker, this. Sat in the stands with Marco. We had a little chocolate bar each, was really nice, and Exeter, like Bristol, just didn't quite turn up, and you were like, oh right, Exeter looked great, but I expected a bit of a ding dong. And the second half, Bristol had a good crack at it, but they were given so much more space by Chiefs. I mean, they just, the defence seemed to...
There was a couple really of nice odd. Tries, though. You know, that you talk about that Nick White try. That was a nice try. And also, who's it? O'Connor try. Brilliant offload from Nathan Hughes. Jack Noel turns the wrong way. Do you see that?
You don't see it live, do you?
He's on the wing and he turns the wrong way, and that just allows Monaghan down the right hand side. So he turns back the other way. Then it's too slow.
Right, okay.
Monaghan looks so fast, mate. Honestly,
I know, rapid,
really rapid. And then big call, yeah,
they had
the
trouble with him.
Big call on the line out for the try. Throw to the back.
Yep. Good, eh?
Really good. Really good.
Yeah, they're a ballsy team. I just felt like the story of the game was inevitably Bristol's comeback, but I think as much of a factor was Exeter just not delivering in the second half. And, you know, one of the Chiefs guys at the end, I won't say who because it wouldn't be fair, but I just said, what happened there? And he goes, that was a game of two halves with two different teams playing. Like, it was two different teams.
It was. 70 points scored one half, 20 points the second half. That was it. Bristol didn't score in the first half. Exeter didn't score in the second half. But
yeah, very odd.
Great story, though. Well, it's not a great story, but it's just nice to see a team like Bristol doing well. You know, stayed up last year. Things seem to be really working down there. The environment seems really good, as it always does with teams winning. But
I love it, mate. I love the whole Bristol vibe, the whole thing. And they're one of my favourite teams to watch. They can be frustrating when they kind of run it from everywhere and it doesn't quite work. But, you know, you're always going to be entertained, and they all seem to love it, which is such a nice thing. And not all teams look like that, frankly. They seem to be having a really good time.
Yeah, some quality good players as well.
Hell of a win.
Yep.
Yeah, loads of quality players. And, you know, they're spending some dough. Equally, they've got some top boys on big money, we read in the papers.
Yep.
And there are guys there that, because it's such a great environment, will stay for less. And, you know, Saracens have that. Very publicly, it's said that Elliot Daly had a load of offers and Sarri's was his lowest offer.
Yeah.
You know, there are guys who will stay at Saracens for less money than a lot less money than they could get elsewhere because Saracens win.
To win trophies, the environment, the culture they've got there.
Yeah.
You want to be part of it.
Yeah. So it seems, you know, the first judgment suggests that they are spending too much money on players, but there are a lot of players there who could earn more elsewhere. That's also true, I believe.
So the big game really was Gloucester Saracens, always going to be after the salary cap announcement investigation. Sorry, going into Saracens, and I mean, I did enjoy the interview after from Alex Sanderson, quoted Taylor Swift, didn't he? Haters going to hate.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Haters going to play. But you can't buy work ethic, can you? You know, you can't buy togetherness. Which Saracens have got, and
well, no, but you can buy. No, you can't. They do loads of stuff brilliantly, but you can buy excellence. You just can.
You can buy
quality.
Excellence, but it doesn't mean it's not. You're naturally going to get a great squad or a great culture.
No,
from
not
that.
At all. No, not at all. But you know,
which we've always said they have. So do Exeter, mind, without having to potentially go over the salary cap. But that's why people are attracted to Saracens, not just because of winning, but because the whole environment that they've created there.
And, you know, a lot of that, and again, we're just saying what we think here, so this isn't defending, or we don't know all the details, but so much of that is that it comes from the top. If at the top you've got someone who strikes fear into people, people are never going to fully express themselves or be themselves because you don't have permission to in case you get into trouble. If at the top you've got someone like Nigel, who is just a wonderful bloke and lets people put, you know, interpersonally, don't know about the financial stuff, do we? But really, not yet. But he just creates an environment where everyone is allowed to be themselves, love each other, all that kind of stuff, just your cup of tea.
Yeah.
But the environment starts at the top. And when clubs spend loads of money and things aren't quite right, people always blame the top guy and say, well, it always starts at the top. When things are great, you should credit the person at the top as well. We're not talking about the money now. We're talking about the culture. But what I will say is to counter that, to offer a bit of balance to that, if you are able to sign largely who you want, you can't buy work ethic and whatever, but if you buy players that you know deliver that, that is likely to spread throughout a squad. But it's not all squads can go and buy them, you know. It's... Anyway. Yeah, it's just a bit of balance to it. That's all, boy.
Okay. But Marshall, did you see his try? Little chip and
chase. Amazing.
Really amazing. Good. Really good.
Best but, player on the field, Richard Wigglesworth, I thought.
You reckon?
Yeah. Ran the show, mate.
Ran the show. What other games? You covered all games, obviously, with Channel 5 with Mark Dernan Smith. Bath, mate, the Bath pack and scrum looked brilliant.
Yep.
Why is that?
Well, Ben Urbano went to my school, didn't he? You've got
Dulwich,
a, you know, you've
it?
Yeah, you've got a you know, a history of excellence.
But it wasn't just a scrum though, it was the whole pack, the carry and the tight, the drive,
yeah,
the line
really good.
Out, the drive, the lot. Not
yeah,
something
really
you,
good.
You always associate with Bath. With all due respect.
No, what I'd say is that Bath, they can deliver that. They just don't always deliver it. And that's the thing. But also, I think Northampton play, I said this on the telly, I think, but play some wonderful stuff. They're great to watch. I just, with Ben Frank's arrival can't come soon enough. Mm. Owen Frank's just arrived. And not a moment too soon. I'm just not quite sure they have the flat-out power in their front five. Tim Honor-Harrison, great top premiership player. Jamie Gibson, I say this all the time, not just because we're barbecue buddies. He absolutely is good enough to play for England. I think he's one of the best players in the country not to have an England cap. Tom Wood, 50 capper, always delivers pretty much. You know, you've got some really good, but I think in the front five, they've got loads of really good players, top performing players, but I'm not sure they've got the brute power to combat that. And I think ultimately that undermines you in the end, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Or it can do. And I think that's something that needs fixing. And maybe Owen Frank's arrival will remedy that somewhat. But they were beaten by power.
Mercer had a very good game.
Yeah.
Also, Alid Brew, red card to the face for form. When I first saw that, I thought, he's kicked the ball into his face. Play on. But then when he saw it back, that's a red card, mate. It's a red card.
Yep.
He's raised his elbow for no reason whatsoever. Not even really protecting himself. Maybe, I don't necessarily think he's gone for the head. I think he's gone just for a little barge. You know, just run into him. Just
have
be annoying.
That,
be annoying more than
yeah,
anything.
That's it.
But
Sarri's won that. Bath won that and they played over half an hour with 14 men. That is pretty impressive, that.
Very decent. Very decent.
really good win. Charlie Yules as well was class.
Yeah.
He was absolutely everywhere. It's class, yeah.
Sale Wasps, another red card.
What are you saying?
I'll talk.
Ndogwu, what are you saying?
Ndogwu. Mate.
Mate. You can't do that.
Definitely a red. Didn't like his reaction either. Like, it was a joke. Like, I can't believe it. That's ridiculous. How can you
hate
give me a red for
hate at the moment, fella. Hate
Although,
at the moment.
Liam Williams did put no card, no penalty.
Did he?
Yeah. Which.
Yeah, but he's an ardener. He's a scaffolder, mate. That's like a greeting to him.
That is, you're up in the air, your legs are bent. You've seen a player and then you've decided to raise your foot to try and connect with him. And it's connected in the face, which is even worse. But it has to be a red. There's no way on earth that is anything but a red.
Nope. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. How about Kibberiggy's try?
Yes.
Yow.
Really good.
Yowza.
Yeah.
He's class, isn't he?
Yowza. But Carr did really well. Link play with that. And also Taylor. Yeah. With the old bounce pass. You know, it doesn't matter how the ball gets there, it just needs to get there. You know,
well, the old bounce pass, my old mate Peter Short used to say, the old bounce pass, hey? Indefendable.
Yeah, because you're watching the ball, you're not watching the player.
Yeah.
So often the bounce pass will take you a little bit more on the outside, more so.
I think Sale have got every chance of doing going really well.
Yeah.
Going really well this season. I hope they do.
Intercept, fend, and then link play with Dupria.
Really good.
Really good. I mean, that was a bit of a soft
pass. Well, it came from the Ben Curry hit, didn't it?
Yeah, but Gopper throws a bit of a floater. That needs to be
Sean Gota?
That needs to be firm and hard. And McGuigan just picks that off. And he does, mate, it does so well to offload. But yeah, so Sale win by 10 points.
Yeah, there's every chance they're going to be impressive.
Yes,
it really is.
I do really agree with that.
I really hope so as well. And not just because it's awkward to go and play there, because it is.
Yeah.
Because it's the least atmosphere of anywhere in the Prem, because there's the fewest supporters. That's just being frank, it's true. And it can be a bit of a meh game. They come out firing into it and you think you're up for it, but it's kind of like we're used to a bit more than this. But I think when they win this season, it won't be about that. I think it'll be about quality, good recruitment.
I'm going to say this, right? I think my player of the round was Ben Loader. for learning Irish.
Oh, wow. Mm. So I got a little tip off. I got a tip off from Topsy Ojo via Durders and said, keep your eye on this kid. He's special.
He is special.
So I'm claiming that as a spot. I spotted him, but really it was Topsy.
Try scores off simple decoy run. Runs behind the centre, pops up, goes through.
I wanted to ask you about this fella.
Yeah. I think Jonah Holmes is too far across.
Yeah, but I don't think they score that if you're playing. I think you read that. Jamie Roberts reads that. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Or was it really good play?
It was good play, but you've got to expect that because all teams run them now. So you just have to make sure you're lined up. You don't want it to be a 50-50. You want to make sure that both the decoy or the non-decoy and the strike runner are both covered, basically. So you just got to jam in, really. And if they are going to break you, they've got to go around the outside, which is a lot harder. And then there's cover coming across. But you shouldn't run an angle like that through the middle and be able to score. It's either, if Jonah Holmes is worried about the cross kick, then blindside winger has to come across far, far quicker. Because all the best fullbacks are the ones that follow the ball. So you just keep on the inside of the ball non-stop. You shouldn't be scoring like that. That's how you score against weak teams, poor teams defensively. So, defensively, they weren't set up right. But a great run anyway. Does really well.
Doesn't he? So you got Nahlu on one, Nahlu on the other. Let's do it.
I know.
Irish were great. Like I sound patronisingly surprised, but because they're newly promoted, you expect them to struggle, frankly. But they were great. And Leicester got rolled easy.
And Botha hits a brilliant angle for his try as well. Yeah. You know, good luck stopping him. And that was after they just kept the ball alive from right to left. Again, Loader featured. But the just passing was accurate. It's right out in front. It wasn't having to check. You wouldn't have to stop your stride. You know, everything was at pace and right in front as you want it. And it was a very good win for London Irish. And you're right with what you say. You know, you don't expect London Irish to do so well because we've seen it in the past, haven't we?
Yeah, history says that promoted sides tend to struggle in those games. But when you're director of rugby, Jordan Murphy, when he says we just weren't up for it, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
That was a, you know, if your scrum struggles and your head director of rugby says after the game, our scrum struggled, it kills you, but you knew it anyway. When he says you just weren't up for it, you're like, oh, that is a kick in the balls.
Not many coaches say that, really.
I love it, though, but he's honest after games. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. So,
God, you know,
other big games that you...
This is a personal thing, and it's nothing technical about it. Oh, give me 2 secs. That's just got a pizza arriving. Hang on.
Oh, nice. Diet's going well, then. Bet that's stuffed crust. Extra cheese. No veg. Probably full fat Coke, wash it down. Pafita rolls, cheesecake.
Oh, hello.
Oh, sorry, mate. It's just going through what you'd ordered.
It's sushi, actually.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
It is. Don't worry, I've got a bit of deep fried sushi in there. Don't worry. It's just a personal thing, and this is completely biased, unprofessional thing to say. I really hope Leicester stick with Geordie for a good amount of time. I really, really do, because I just think if give him every bit of support anyone thinks he might need and then give him time, I really hope they don't do that football thing.
Well,
swap him out.
Well, I often think that as well with, say, Dean Ryan, who's come to the Dragons.
Yeah.
Okay. Renowned coach, great history, great CV, and you just think it's not going to happen straight away. It's going to take a little bit of time. You know, it's not all, you know, you could have Steve Hansen in there, for instance, and they probably would still be quite poor. They're not poor, but they don't win that often. You know, it's not always down to the coach. It's you've got to look at budgets for players. You've got to look at the quality of player you've got. And a lot of teams go through transitions, don't they, where they lose a lot of their stars. They're trying to bring youngsters through. Not every youngster is going to smash onto the scene like a George North. You know, it takes them a bit of time. They've got to grow. They've got to get stronger. They need to get experience. So, yeah, I agree. You've got to look at teams and you've got to think, right, teams with quality players in and that aren't performing, yeah, you can look at the coach. But when you haven't got the quality there, you've got inexperienced players, and not all Leicester players are inexperienced, but they're certainly lacking a little bit of confidence and probably a little, you want to keep with your coach. And I hope Jordan Murphy does stay.
Yeah, I really do. Just I think he will actually.
Yeah, a little bit on the Pro 14, mate.
Yeah, what's happening then, fella?
Well, Ospreys are having a real poor season. Mm. And they've got some quality there as well. Scott Williams
Why?
Is playing.
Why? What's happening
the
then?
Just everything. The forwards
is there
actually,
anyone we can blame? Can we blame someone for
the
this?
The forwards are actually doing a pretty good grunt up front, I think. Behind, they're looking a little bit flat. James Hook misses a couple of kicks. You know, they're playing the Southern Kings, who are probably the worst team in the league. Yeah. The Ospreys are playing them at Liberty as well, and they lose. And Hookie has a couple of attempts. One he probably should have got. The other was quite far out, but it'd gone 80 minutes, so they gave it a go. But it's just not firing behind at the moment. Corey Allen's been injured, is injured for a long time. Dan Evans as well, 15. Quality player.
Yeah.
He's injured as well. They cannot wait for their stars to come back as well. Blues won.
A bit like Leicester Tigers in that sense.
Blues won. Massively needed to win as well. They played against the Cheetahs, who were started off the season on fire, but they've now lost three games on the bounce away from home. Ruan Pienaar's back there. He's one of their best players. And
yeah, he's a freak.
Yeah, he is. And Ryan Smith at 15 has been scoring loads of tries. But there was a red card. I can't remember who it was. Vise, their number 8. Shoulder. Like you see a lot of time, mate, going into a ruck. Hasn't come from a great distance, but just sort of looking to clear out or counter ruck. Yeah. Shoulder straight into the face. Cocked as well. You know, it's brought back and gone straight forward. Woof, right into the face. Has to be a red card. So they're down to 40 men. But Lloyd Williams, 200th appearance, really good for him. A commentator on Scarlett's Benetton game. Conditions were horrific all through the weekend in Wales. Mate, it was terrible.
Good for the lawns, though.
Yeah, but it's been had enough rain. Needs sun now.
Yeah, okay.
Grass grow.
Okay, yeah.
And okay, Scarlett's nearly lose it as well. Really nearly lose the game. They have like 4 opportunities to go for points, and they go for the corner. And
yeah,
Benetton
I saw bits of that, and I always find that. Yeah, I don't know why, but it's better for the neutral. But for some reason,
it's positive play. I admire it. Like you think,
I never quite enjoy it though.
But then you know, after 2 attempts, say you think right, maybe we'll take points now because they're only 3 points up.
Yeah.
So, and you think, right, there's still an opportunity for Benetton to get back in. There is. They get a penalty. They kick it to touch. They win a line-out. They win a penalty. And Tommaso Allan kicks it. And it's then, what is it, 17-all. But Dan Jones, there's an infringement, and Dan Jones gets the shot right on the 80th minute and nails it. Massive kick. Like, one that he should have got. Bear in mind, it wasn't like an impossible kick,
but it's still
but
big.
The pressure is on, and no one was more happy than Steph Hughes, the centre, who was the captain, who constantly opted for
corner.
But they won the game, so it's vindicated, really. And he's had a really good season, Steph Hughes. You wouldn't have heard too much of him, but just a nice little balanced 12 or
30. Is that Mark's son?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you're trying to think of another one now, aren't you?
Yeah, Emlyn.
Well done, boy.
Nathan,
well done, boy. That was good.
Yeah, but the Scarlets are a team, right? That you probably, at the start of the season, you look at and think, right, the amount of stars they're missing, they're probably going to struggle like one of the worst, really. But they've really come together. Brad Moore, Glenn Delaney, done a really good job. Di Flanagan as well. But they've just got some quality players, mate, that have just come together. Partnerships working.
Great.
Paul Asquith and Steph Hughes in the centre. Steph Evans, the winger.
How's he travelling?
Travelling well, mate.
I've only seen bits. I've seen highlights, and you just don't see a lot of what a winger does. You kind of see...
Travelling well.
You see him score, but you don't see their work rate and things, do you?
Looks more dangerous when he's cutting back inside. You know, like when you go down the touchline, you step back in because his feet are so good. Kieran Hardy at 9. Love watching him play. He's done really well. Scored a lot of tries. I think he's scored 3 or 4 tries so far. Johnny McNichol, who now qualifies for Wales.
He
had a bit of a mixed bag, really. You know, he made a few errors, a few drop balls, a few poor kicks, but he'll be in that Welsh squad. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, covers 15, covers wing. Big bloke. Yeah. Great attacker. And hungry for it. So,
hand in it.
Yeah. And the Dragons lost as well. So that's it, really, from Welsh rugby. Munster beat
Okay.
Ulster, Glasgow one. And now we're into Europe, aren't we?
I'm in Glasgow on Saturday.
I am in Bath.
Oh, great. Can't you do Glasgow and I do Bath?
Well, I'm doing five live, though, so not quite.
Oh, right. I'm getting made up and kind of telling.
You'll just hear my voice. And
you're better like that. No, that's good. No, it is. You're good at either. Hey, well, this is good. This is good stuff. It's good to be back. I don't want you to spend the night worrying about me being ill, because I've got some day nurse.
You have got day night nurse. You want to get night nurse and get the drowsy stuff, because that'll help you. That'll help send you off.
Yeah, I've got that. And I've got Nightol as well.
Or just listen to this podcast.
I'll just call you and ask you what you're doing with your evening, and that'll knock me out.
Anyway, ladies and gents, it's good to be back.
Good to be back. Yeah.
All right,
Emlyn.
Okay, Dave. Enjoy your comfort food.
You're like Silas from the Da Vinci Code, yeah? See you later, mate.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Ta-ra.